This is Midday Magazine for Wednesday, September 30th. I'm Angela Denning. A new independent ferry connecting Petersburg, Wrangell, and Prince of Wales Island's Kaufman Cove started up a month ago, and it's still trying to work out some kinks. Wrangell officials are working with the Rainforest Islands ferry to solve its biggest problem, the lack of a suitable place to load vehicles in Wrangell. Katarina Sestarek reports.
Residents of Wrangell, Petersburg, and Kaufman Cove were excited about the start of the new four-day-a-week ferry after several months of delays. The ship made about a dozen complete trips in the past month, but the first month of service has also seen delays, a week and a half without ferry service, and confusion and changes in docking locations. Rainforest Islands Ferry General Manager Kent Miller says he's having difficulty in Wrangell because the original plan to use the Shoemaker Bay boat ramp 5 miles south of town didn't work out.
The access to the ramp is too tight and maneuverability is too difficult to make it possible for the Rainforest Islander to get in and out reliably and safely on a schedule. So we've shifted, as I'm sure you know, over to the Old City Launch Ramp by the power plant.
But getting to the city launch ramp, which is in downtown Wrangell, is impossible at low tide.
And we are missing about a third of the potential vehicle trips in and out of the ramp. We're continuing to go to Wrangell northbound and southbound on each trip, but when the launch ramp isn't accessible, we can't book vehicles for the trip.
Miller also says the ferry was down for more than a week because he hired a new crew to replace the original staff. On one day, the ferry didn't run due to bad weather. Otherwise, he thinks it's going okay. The Wrangell Borough Assembly discussed the ferry's docking dilemma last week. Assemblymember Julie Decker says city staffers are aware of the issue and have been trying to solve it.
And in fact, the city staff tried to warn them of some of the problems they would have. That being what it is, I don't think that they did their due diligence. However, there's still a problem that, you know, I think the ferry could be a good thing, and it would be good for us to try to look into it and see if there's anything we can do about that.
The Assembly asked the Port Commission to take on the issue. Commission Chairman Clay Hammer says options include using a ramp at the airport and dredging in front of the Inner Harbor boat ramp.
Of the three communities, I think that we stand to gain the most out of having this thing succeed. But the problems, there's a lot of different problems with trying to get cars on and off that ferry.
The Heritage Harbor ramp, 1 mile south of town, is best suited for the Rainforest Islands ferry, but the ferry doesn't have permission to use it. The ramp was built with a grant from the Department of Fish and Game, which stipulated it can only be used by sport fishermen. Assemblymember Daniel Blake says no matter where the ferry chooses to dock in Wrangell, it needs to be consistent.
I know some people that have already ridden on it, and there was a lot of confusion as to where it was coming in.
Sure.
The ferry didn't contact them ahead of time. They understood it was coming into the Inner Harbor ramp there and was sitting there waiting, and the next thing you know, it's coming in down at Heritage, and then it's going someplace else, and it was just really tough for them to figure out.
General Manager Kent Miller says the ferry is back on schedule and plans to start van service in the next couple of weeks. There will be one van for each community. The first van will either go to Prince of Wales Island to connect Kaufman Cove to Craig, or it will be on Mitkoff Island connecting Banana Point to Petersburg. Wrangell will be the last to get a van because its docking location is closest to town. Miller says he doesn't have an official tally of how many people have used the ferry.
It's less than 50% of its capacity, for sure. We do think that traffic is growing, and certainly hope it is. We have had several full loads on the vehicle deck and two full loads in the passenger house, which were school groups.
Miller says they're trying to do better and make it easier for people to bring their cars to Wrangell. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Katarina Sestarek.
Alaska's Department of Transportation says clearing state roadways from ice and snow may take longer than usual this winter because of state budget cuts. In the Petersburg area, that announcement could impact drivers on the southern end of Mitkoff Highway, including passengers on a new ferry service, the Rainforest Islander, planning to make stops on southern Mitkoff through the winter months. Joe Vicnicki reports.
Statewide, the DOT has had to absorb a budget cut of $34 million, a 12.5% reduction to the department's operating budget from the year before. DOT spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says plowing and de-icing roads may take a little bit longer to get to if the region is hit with a big winter storm.
One of the reasons is due to budget constraints, we no longer can pay overtime to employees, and so they have to work within the hours now that are provided for their schedules.
The DOT in September publicized a new online map that identifies state roads and their level of priority for maintenance work. Woodrow says the department has always had that priority system, but the new map will help the public understand when maintenance work could happen.
And so the general public can go look at this map and be able to see which roads are which priorities to give them a better idea of when they may have their road plowed near them. So we have five levels. Priority one is the top priority. Those roads receive the most service, and it goes all the way down to priority level five. Level five roads do not get any winter service at all.
There's one level five stretch of road near Petersburg. It's on Mitkoff Highway, south of Blind Slough and the Crystal Lake Hatchery. Woodrow says that roadway has been plowed in the past when DOT maintenance staff could get to it.
It always has been a level five, though the staff gets to it when time is allowed and time is available. And understanding that there is the new ferry service that's running to South Mitkoff, that's something the department's going to monitor and see if that should be changed to a level four.
The new ferry is the Rainforest Islander, an independent ferry that started service between Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, and South Mitkoff this summer. The converted landing craft is run by the Kaufman Cove-based North End Ferry Authority. It has four-day-a-week scheduled stops at Banana Point Boat Ramp through the winter. The authority's general manager, Kent Miller, writes in an email that no snow removal on the southern end of Mitkoff Highway would prevent that ferry service from happening. He writes that the ferry authority will be requesting the state plow that stretch of road on the days that that boat is in service, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Since the start of service, drivers and passengers have had to find their own way out to Banana Point. That's about 25 miles south of downtown Petersburg. However, the ferry authority still plans to start up van service from Petersburg to Banana Point this fall on those days. Miller also reports that the new ferry service has had one standing reservation at the Banana Point pickup on Sundays and Tuesdays, and has had traffic getting on and off the new ferry most days it has been operating. Meanwhile, the rest of Mitkoff Highway from the Hatchery north to downtown Petersburg is a priority level 2 road. That means it can take up to 36 hours to clear after a heavy winter storm. Again, the DOT's Jeremy Woodrow.
There is no priority level 1 in Petersburg, which means the 2 becomes really the level 1. Because of the staff, the amount of staff positions we have in Petersburg, the times to clear the entire highway may take a little longer anyways, just because, like I said earlier, we can't pay overtime, so it may take them longer during a heavy winter storm. But they will get to it. It's important that people should remember that, you know, drive to the conditions of the road and that the posted speed limit is for ideal conditions. During heavy winter weather, definitely you want to slow down.
Two other portions of State Road, the Scow Bay Loop and the road to Papke's Landing, are listed as level 4. Those can take up to 96 hours to clear, according to the state's website. Along with the southern end of Mitkoff Highway, the DOT has level 5 priority roads, those scheduled for no service near Yakutat, Sitka, Juneau, Haines, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. The DOT downgraded North Douglas Highway near Juneau from a level 2 to a level 3, and that could impact people trying to drive to Eagle Crest ski area if the snow is falling. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicky.
The Petersburg High School girls' cross-country team took first place among the 1A, 2A, and 3A schools at the regional meet on Douglas Island near Juneau this past Saturday. Four PHS runners finished the 5-kilometer course in under 23 minutes, and five were in the top 10. Kaylee Eddy was second overall, finishing in just over 22 minutes. Avery Skeek took third place, just 8 seconds behind Eddy. Hannah Funt was fourth, Aaron Funt was sixth, and Julia Murph took 10th. The boys finished in fourth place, second for 2A schools behind Craig. Sitka took first place, followed by Craig and Mount Edgecombe. Tucker Hagerman was ninth overall with a time of 18 minutes and 22 seconds. Nathaniel Lenhard was 12th. Joe Vicnicki spoke with Coach Tommy Thompson about Saturday's effort.
Was it wet and muddy and crazy in Juneau over the weekend?
I'm not sure it could have been wetter or muddier or crazier. Blowing sideways, it felt like it was February in September.
A good day for racing, though, huh?
It's cross country. I mean, that's the adventure of it. Someone said, you know, why would you do this outside? And this is not volleyball or basketball or swimming. This is Alaska's outdoor sports. Yeah, it was a great day for that. It made it even better.
Petersburg girls came in first overall for the 1A, 2A, 3A schools, and they once again finished pretty well in a tight pack.
Yeah, it was like this sea of blue once again, and that's what we talked about. We talked about there's some girls who were finishing up ahead of us, and we wanted to make sure that we finished solid. So they knew a couple girls they wanted to key on, and it worked so well. A couple of these really strong runners, once we got four runners ahead of them, they seemed to just kind of lay up a little bit, and the girls just kept running. They went out fast, and they just hammered the pace. Every lap, you would see our 2, 3, 4, 5 girls just continuing and not losing spots, and it was very impressive run, most impressive region race that I've seen from Petersburg as long as I've been here.
And individually, did anyone really surprise with their finish?
You know, everybody surprised us a little bit because we went 2, 3, 4, 6 overall. But Kaylee Eddy, we had a number two girl a couple years ago in Grace Weller, and she's now running at UAF. And we were hoping to get another two up there because having those really low score helps you in the long run. But that's I don't know of any region champs from Southeast, and Brad Taylor could probably tell us more, but finishing number two in the region was just incredible. And then to have a freshman, Avery Skeek, come in third right behind her, and then Hannah, our senior, number four, and Aaron, sophomore, and Julia, sophomore, and then even with great performances by Maddie Parker and Alexander Bless, you know, coming in our 6-7, it's just the whole team just did just a fantastic job.
And on the boys' side of things, they finished second in 2A, just behind Craig, it looks like.
They did, and, you know, we knew that Sitka was going to be incredibly tough to beat. We thought they might go perfect score going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and someone, Bryce Gerald, snuck in from Juneau and got one of those spots. But we thought, well, let's shoot for second, and we were really shooting for how to beat Mount Edgecombe and compete with the 3A schools. And we kind of knew who had to finish where, and Tucker and Nathaniel have done such a great job as our 1-2. We knew that we could, through three people, that we could be even with Edgecombe and with Craig. And it's just, but the weather just kind of affected us, and we have a few health problems. But the final score between the three of us, Craig, Edgecombe, and us, was 97-100 and 102. And, I mean, it's like losing a basketball game at those scores. You know, it could go either way. Just one person out sprints someone here, one person, you know, doesn't take a wrong turn, but just any little thing. And so it was an amazing finish. We didn't find out till 2 or 3 hours after the meet that we'd finished so close to the top, but they had great performances, all of them. I couldn't be prouder of all the boys.
And Tucker's time, that's off his best from this season, because he's finished under 18, I think, right?
Yeah, he's gone 17:50, but Colin Bacioko, the young man from Sitka who won it, he went 17:01, and he went 16:24 at one race this year. So, you know, it's about a 30-second race difference, and so Tucker's 18:22, you know, that could be considered to be as well as he's run under these conditions, considering what these other times are. And Nathaniel, this 18:47 on a drier, better course, you know, he would have gone an 18:15, 18:10. That's what he said. He said, I can go 18:15 today. But he was running into a headwind and, you know, 4 or 5 inches of mud, and it was just crazy. But they had great runs, and everybody was in it, so it was, you know, no excuses. But it definitely slowed us down. Corin Sproul went 19:38, and, you know, again, you take, you know, 30 seconds off of that, and he's pretty close to sub-19. So very, very good performances. Stuart Merdallin came in 4 for us, and I think that's his best finish scoring-wise for us ever. And he just, you know, he's a senior, and he's been just solid for us all year. So glad he came out for the team.
Again, that was cross-country coach Tommy Thompson speaking with KFSK's Joe Vicnicki. All seven members of the girls' team qualify for the state meet, along with Tucker Hagerman and Nathaniel Lenhard for the boys. They run again this Saturday at Bartlett High School in Anchorage. And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.